Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome Rich Hall. Thank you. Yeah. Unbelievable. Thanks, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for coming out. Many of you probably forced to sit in the front row to appear in a DVD, so make sure you're with the person you're supposed to be with, my friend. You look like a bit of a philanderer. Maybe this isn't the place to tuck away with someone you're not supposed to be with. We're going down in posterity, my friend, you and me. You're the front row guy. How do you feel about that? You. I don't have a lazy eye. I'm looking right at you. My moment in the sun. Before next year at this time, when I'm marked down at a motorway services right beside the best of Jethro. That's the beauty of comedy, isn't it? It's all ephemeral, right? Tonight we have a good time. It's a golden moment. This time next year, who the fuck knows what's going to happen, right? That's why you need a good laugh. That's why you came down to the front row, just to get the jokes before everyone else. Yeah. Even putting your fucking feet on the stage. Come and just pitch a tent and camp out, for fuck's sake. Put your big fat size 13s up on the stage and block my lower half, you freak. You as well. What the hell's wrong with you people? You look a bit stressed anyway. You got a bit of a computer tan on you, fella. Go on, put your feet up. Why don't you just lay across prone on the stage there? Not really. Such a thing as hyperbole in comedy. Where are you from, fella?
Horsham.
Horsham. Fantastic. That's the gateway to
hell.
Hell. Let me just fill in my own punchlines here, okay? Just sit back and let Rich do the driving, okay? What are you doing, Horsham?
Not a lot.
Not a lot. How do you know when you're finished? What kind of work do you do?
Trade stocks.
You trade stocks. What's the greatest stock you've ever traded?
A company called Expo Holdings.
Expo Holdings. Never heard of them, my friend. You think they'll be around by December when this video's out? Edit yourself here, all right? You're on camera. So what's your name?
Rick.
Rick, what's your last name?
Adams.
Rick, hung like a horse, Adams. All right, nice to have you here, Rick. See what I did there? What was the name of the stock again?
Expo Holdings.
Expo Holdings. What do they make?
They make cabinets.
They make cabinets, and they're called Expo Holding. Something clearly went wrong there, didn't it? That's where businesses always get fucked up, when they buy up things they shouldn't. Do you know that up until a few years ago, Smith & Wesson, the largest manufacturer of handguns in the world, also owned the Mr. Kipling's Cake Company? What kind of a fucking sales meeting was that? Gentlemen, some people are not purchasing our shoot people in the head line of products. We need to branch out, as this pie chart will clearly show. Pie chart? That's it! Pies, cakes, Uzis, Cup Killer Donuts. Come on, gentlemen. Get the R&D boys in on that one. Let me just give you an example of advertising. This is how sick it is. And I just want to point this out before we go any further. At the time of this taping, which is December. At the time of this taping, which is February. At the time of this taping, which is 2012. Date to be determined. Who the fuck knew that Lockerbie guy would still be alive? What a load of shit that is. What's the deal with Gordon Brown stabbing people in the head with a salad fork? Who the fuck saw that one coming? This is crazy. Anyway, at the time, currently, ladies and gentlemen, America is $11 trillion in debt. Yep, that's the sound of no one in the room giving a flying fuck that America is $11 trillion in debt. Not a single intake of breath among 3,000 people. You thought that the Expo Holding cabinet guy would have went, wow, that's an exponential amount of money to put in a cabinet. You know why? Because you can't even comprehend that much. The next number up is a killion. You'll die if you even think about it. That's how fucking far in debt we are, ladies and gentlemen. If you took $11 trillion and put it in a coffee can and buried it in your backyard, the amount of coffee displaced would keep every man, woman, and child alive on the planet for 278 years and completely awake. That's how fucking far in debt we are. I know Britain has a national debt. What is it, 287 pounds? I'm going to pass the hat tonight and get Britain out of debt. That's my big finish. But when it's 11 trillion, you just go, holy shit, good luck with that, pal. No late night ad is going to get you out of that kind of trouble, is it? You $11 trillion in debt? Would you like to consolidate that into one low monthly payment? Well, good luck, pal. We need to sell off some states. Desperate times, desperate measures. We got 50 of them. Kids can't find one on a map. Let's unload a few. What do you say? Utah. Who the fuck's been to Utah? People in Utah don't know where Utah is. Let's just sell it. Let Iceland have it for a while. See what they can do with it. Looks like that. What's that?
Utah.
Yeah, Utah. It's a state. State in America. Who am I talking to now? Who are you, the geographic heckler? Have you been to Utah? Where are you from?
France.
Yeah. France. Not to pronounce your own country for you. It's called France, all right? France, my ass. Yeah. Where are you going afterwards? For a lot dance? France. Good. You're our friends again, as far as Americans go. It's Scotland who's our enemy now. It all changed, didn't it? Freedom fries my ass. We're going to boycott Scotland, goddammit. No. It's best to be able to find a country on a map before you decide to boycott it. You know what I'm saying? We're not going to call it Scotch tape. It's freedom tape. Oh, fuck off, America. I don't know. Anyway, that's a fan. The kids did a great job. Some of you might be looking at this as if it's a bit off. I think there's probably a conversation about halfway through when they were painting it where they switched from feet to meters. So if you're watching this at home, you might want to slide this part of your TV forward. And I will perform the show like this, and then we'll get the forced perspective that I was looking for in the first place. It's a fantastic view, though. That's very nice of them to do that. That's pretty much the view out my back window where I live in Montana. It's not completely like that, but has anyone been to Montana? Anyone? Where were you? Bozeman. Holy shit. Are you my dry cleaner? Do I know you? I do know you? Oh, Christ. There goes all the magic and the mystery of the show right there. Turns out Richard invited all his friends from Montana to the show. And then filled out the top row with refugees from Calais. Look, trust me. Are you from Montana? Where are you from? Stevenage. Yeah. Often called the gateway to Montana. What did you think of it? What were you doing in Bozeman?
Best state in America.
Best state in America. Thank you. We need more people like you. It's fucking friendly, isn't it? Unbelievably friendly. You can't even conduct a transaction in Montana without undergoing a 30-minute conversation with someone. I was in Bozeman. It was an absolutely true story. How about something funny you wrote, Rich? Nope, this is an absolute true story. I went to buy some hiking boots at a sporting goods shop, and I say to the guy, I like some hiking boots. And he says, where are you going hiking? As if it makes a difference. Specific boots for specific trails. But, well, I'm going hiking in Yellowstone Park. He says, oh, you'll need a bell. Why? So the grizzly bears know where you are. I said, you're the worst salesman I've ever met in my life. What's wrong with you? I came in for hiking boots and you're trying to make me some kind of a lunchtime ding-a-ling target for a fucking 12-foot carnivore? What the hell's wrong? He says, well, if the bear knows where you are, he might leave you alone. Put the fucking bell on the bear and I'll leave him alone. How about that? In the end, I just relented. I just said, okay, fine, give me some hiking boots and a bell. He says, we don't sell bells. You know where you can find them? Big piles of grizzly bear shit. That's where. That's kind of the law of the land of Montana. The further north you get, the more things will eat you, you know. You know, this is a tough town, but Montana, it's just, it's full of majestic animals. You don't see any in that picture, because they've all been shot. But people do that in Montana a lot. They just, it bugs me in a way, because there's, you know, elk, moose, you know. The headlines in Montana generally involve the word elk, moose, wayward, or rampaging. Any combination of those words. So, you know, I'm not a big hunter. I don't really see the point in killing something majestic. But everywhere you go in Montana, you probably notice this, right? Big stuffed heads staring at you on the wall, right? Did you see any of those? Even your dry cleaners, big bison staring at you. What's he looking at? I just want my shirts cleaned. Why is he there? And it's sad, because the look on their face is clearly the last thought going through their head before they got shot, which is usually, what is that, a gun? Anybody else see a gun out there? I just saw just a little glint of steel right beyond that tree. Did it... Jesus! So I don't hunt, but I got this infestation of prairie dogs. And prairie dogs are, they live in the grass right here. They're pesty. They're little rodents. They're very cute. They're not dogs at all. They're like a cross between a meerkat and a squirrel. But, you know, if you saw one, you'd want to hug it, but they'd actually eat your face off. They're vicious, right? In fact, there used to be trees in this picture. The prairie dogs got them, right? What they do is they dig tunnels everywhere. So many tunnels that you get this network that eventually turns into a sinkhole, and then counties disappear, right? So a lot of people in Montana shoot them with a .22 rifle, but I don't want to do that because, as I mentioned, they're cute, you know? And also, when they get shot, they overact like crazy. The most ham-fisted death scene you've ever seen in your life. They just clutch their chest and stagger back like some cowboy in a 40s Western going, "Oh, Jesus, what? What? Why?" And they get their buddies out and put their arms around them and pose for a death picture. What's wrong with you? Just die, you little bastard. So I didn't want to shoot him. My neighbor comes over. He's an old-timer. He's got a .22 rifle on his shoulder, and he says, "You want to get rid of those prairie dogs? I'll get rid of them. I'll shoot the little bastards. I'll shoot them. I'll shoot them. I'll shoot them." And he's got the opposite of a lazy eye. My neighbor, he's got like a hyperactive eye. I don't know. I don't know what the condition. Pinball eye, if you ask me, because he says, "Well, I'll shoot the little. You want to get him? I'll get him. I'll get him. I'll get this." I said, "Do you aim with that eye? Because if you do, a lot of people are going to die. No, don't shoot my prairie dogs." And then I got more tunnels. And then my wife managed to find the one person in Montana who provides the humane alternative to shooting a prairie dog. I should point out my wife is British and doesn't like to see animals in misery because, you know, she's British. Prefers to see all misery reserved for humans. However, she found this guy who shows up in the biggest industrial vacuum cleaner setup you've ever seen. I'm not lying. It's on the back of a truck. It weighs like 3 tons. Just this big black grease-covered thing with a big howitzer cannon nozzle coming off of it, and then a Perspex cage, and he's trundling along the property, and he finds a prairie dog hole, and then he switches on the machine, and the hose makes this sound. And the prairie dog shoots through it like 90 miles per hour. You can actually see it. Just slams against the cage, and they're staggering around all over each other, concussed, and clearly all looking at me like I owe him an explanation, you know? And I'm just like, Jesus, I had no idea this was going to happen. Now I have this 80s blow-dry look, too, like because they've just been sucked through at 90 miles per hour. You know? It's like Night of the Miniature Werewolves. They're all crawling all. And I said to him, "Doesn't this give him brain damage?" And he says, "Yeah, of course it gives him brain damage. Doesn't kill him, though, does it? That's the humane alternative." And so I was fascinated and horrified at the same time. And he's just filling them up. There's 3 in that hole. Fuck me. I said, "What do you do with these things after you've caught them?" He says, "I just take them across the river and let them go. Then I wait 3 or 4 days and start working that side of the river." Why? So in a sense, a career that perpetuates itself, my friend, should come to Montana. Buy up some of our companies. $11 trillion. Other than that, things are wonderful, ladies and gentlemen. See, Americans, as a rule, I think they take money far more seriously than Brits, you know? I think the money itself forces you to take it seriously, because American money is pretty fucking scary, isn't it? And God we trust! I got $6. I can pretty much handle it from here, God. A picture of a dead president, then on the back a pyramid with an eyeball staring at you like something out of Monsters, Inc. I don't even know what the hell that is, but it's scary, right? Look at British money. It doesn't take it that... Darwin, for crying out loud. You have Darwin on the £5 note. Trust me, that would not happen in America. Never see a big... "In God we trust," in a picture of Darwin going... There's lots of famous people to put on your money. That's why Britain doesn't need to be part of the Euro. Euro is clearly for countries who don't have enough famous people to put on their own money. Remember when Belgium used to have pictures of missing kittens on their money, remember? The Scots, holy shit. I believe that legally you're allowed to print your own money in Scotland if you have a basement. I swear to God, I've never actually seen 2 notes that actually matched in Scotland. Like snowflakes, aren't they? They just put anything on the money. Here's a geographic anomaly, there's Brigadoon. What the fuck? I didn't even know this existed. I just thought this was a bad musical done in high school. Nope, that's Brigadoon. And on the front, anybody in Scotland who's ever discovered anything. Here's a guy who found some sunglasses on a park bench in Cumbernauld. Give me some change. So if I could explain why we were $11 trillion in debt, ladies and gentlemen, it boggles my mind, you know. But you look at certain things and the way that we just gave money away to anybody who did or didn't deserve it, you know. And you just look at, you know, the Hubble telescope, the big piece of shit Dixon's clearance item floating around in the sky. That's the perfect example. That's the kind of thing you don't have in Britain. You don't have that. You don't waste all that money on space exploration. You know why? Because Brits don't give a flying fuck if there's somebody on another planet or not. Their thinking is, well, if they're up there, they can find us. They know where we are. We're on the map. We've been around a few thousand years. Good luck parking, fuckface. Come on down. Whereas America, constantly determined to prove what? I don't know. The Hubble telescope, and it's about to be decommissioned, so I was reading this article about it, and you know the mirrors never worked on it, right? It's cost billions and billions of dollars, and they never quite got the mirrors to work, and at one point they were going to put up a second mirror to reflect off the first mirror to get the right angle. I don't even know what the mirrors do, but they never worked. So I'm reading the article, and then at the end of the article it says, the Hubble telescope was built and designed by General Motors. And then I figured, well, that just explains why the fucking mirrors don't work. Be the last company you would hire to build a mirror, right? You'd rather have the cabinet company make the mirrors, right? GM could make a decent mirror. They wouldn't have to write objects maybe closer than they appear on every mirror that they crank out. I guarantee you somebody in Detroit slapped the wrong mirror on there. I remember when the Hubble telescope discovered that the universe was 6 times bigger than we thought it was. Which sounds impressive, right? Until you start to think, wait a minute. The universe was already infinite. What are you trying to tell me? Hey, you know how you couldn't imagine how big the universe was? Now it's 6 times more unimaginable than you couldn't imagine in the first place. Who does that information help? No one. Unless you're Miss Universe. Turns out I'm 6 times lovelier than even I thought I was. So clearly, somebody in Detroit probably put a Buick mirror on there 20 years ago. Somewhere there's a Buick in America with the actual Hubble mirror on the side. Some guy sitting in traffic right now just going, Jesus! Holy shit. Honey, I could see Venus in this mirror. I'm not lying. I got a big planet on my ass. Just go around! You'd appreciate that because you're French. Everyone else, he's on the wrong side of the car. No! So, what we did, ladies and gentlemen, was, unlike, you know, there's this British model. The more I watch advertising in Britain, I realize that it's very sinister. There's something going on that you don't even know what the fuck they're selling until about 75 seconds in, right? You know, there's this whole thing and they put in drama and then a bit of sex, and then they say the brand, and then at the very end, they tell you what they're selling. So you're kind of going, what the hell's going on? Americans are exactly the opposite. All American advertising and all American business thinking is designed basically on this principle. My mental faculties are off. Come and take advantage of me. That's what happened with the mortgages. It used to be late night TV. I'm crazy. Come on down to Wacky Willie's World of Waterbeds. That's right. The boss left me away for the weekend. I got the keys to the warehouse, $39.95, any waterbed. I'm retarded. Come on down and take advantage of my diminishing faculties. 39, princess size, king size, Jesus size. Come on down. We're by the freeway. Free bucket of cobalt. Act now. You go, what the fuck? Let's go take advantage of them, right? And then the same point, you know, people blame, you know, all the greed on bankers, but when there's a steady supply of gullible customers to swim up like sharks feeding at any time, not everyone deserved a mortgage, but at a certain point, the banks in America, come on, we'll give you a mortgage. Even if you're a crack whore in a trailer spouting out kids out of your womb like self-rising biscuits, we'll give you a mortgage. What, you can't sign your own name? Just push a fucking pencil across the desk with your nose. You're a homeowner. That's where it all caught up, right? And they were worthless. Because that's what we do in America. There's a lot of shit. And you can get it fast. You do it on TV. There's a whole half hour devoted to the biggest piece of ab crunch Velcro nailed to a wood contraption you've ever seen. Do you want buns of steel and a washboard stomach? That's right, $39.95. Same price as the waterbed, incidentally. $39.95. Come on down. Who needs a fucking washboard stomach? You can play hillbilly bluegrass music right off your solar plexus here. Whack, 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 whack. It's fantastic. Stores in your closet. Turn it inside out. It's a lady's evening dress. Turn it behind. It's a low-income housing project. It's $39. It's shit. You can have it by tomorrow. Well, of course you can, because it's a big piece of shit. They threw it together when you ordered it. That's what we do in America. We make lots of crap, but we deliver it really fast. Good things come to those who wait, but shit pretty much shows up right away, doesn't it? cold. I like the Adquad Spectacular. Ding dong! Holy fuck, that was fast. Whack, 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 whack. Look, I'm not saying things are better here. I'm just saying that currently I'm enjoying it. I enjoy the comedy climate here. There's a reason that you people came out on a Friday night. Relieve a bit of stress. Stocks. You. A little bit of this, a little bit of that. Because, you know, people always ask me, Rich, why do you come to Britain so much? Why do you perform here? Why aren't you at Uncle Fucker's Chuckle Hutch in Rochester, New York on a Friday night? Drunken frat kids. Come on. Sir Laugh-a-Lots. Go down to Funny Buckles. Name any wacky word in America, there's a comedy club named after it, right? Because I go where the misery is, ladies and gentlemen. I go where people need a fucking good laugh. Because in America, they don't go to the comedy clubs, but they do shoot people in the head with a high-powered rifle. I'm saving lives here tonight. You come, you have a good laugh, you go home, you have a drink, you go back to France, whatever the fuck you do. No one gets hurt. Americans love to say, have a nice day, and then shoot you in the head. Britain is in that gray area between not completely having a nice day, but not getting shot in the fucking head. It doesn't happen. And no one in Britain would ever say to someone, have a nice day. Because that's just winding them up, isn't it? How would you torture someone like that? You said, hey, have a nice quarter of an hour. They go, well, thank you very much. I appreciate that. I really do. And then you have a great 15 minutes, and then something weird happens. Anyway, shit you didn't see coming in a million years. Big chunk of frozen blue airways crashes through your ceiling. Shit. Road works. Because that's what Brits, you know, Americans have, I guess, a disappointing diet. But here they have that steady fucking diet of disappointment. London, holy shit, you wake up every day. What kind of big helping heaping of fucking abuse am I going to endure today? What kind of fucking traffic delays and roadworks and congestion charges and internal fucking bowel collapse of a dire city state grind into an apocalyptic fucking collapse? I don't even know what the fuck that means, but that's what you think every day, right? What kind of shit? What kind of put on hold again? Fuck you. You ever watch a Brit snap? It's glorious. They just go like this. They just spin in circles. Just find some fucking alleyway. I fucking don't even know which way to corkscrew half the time. You son of a bitch. You fucking, who the fuck would do that? To the point where they've truly snapped. I'm going to write a letter. That's when you're bitch. You son of a bitch. No one treats me like that, you bastard. This is handwritten. It's not an email, fuckface. You're going to get that tomorrow. That's right to that red postal box, you bastard. You'll get it tomorrow. Postal strike. Fuck! And then you go have a laugh, right? America, people, they don't, you know, they don't have that pressure valve. You know, the term to go postal came about because he went a little postal. He went postal. That's because post office workers in America, mailmen, couldn't handle the stress of delivering the mail and would go to their work and shoot 8 or 9 people that they work with. If they're under stress, what is Cabinet Boy here under, huh? Some kind of nuclear fusion, for fuck's sake? It's just deliver the mail. How stressful can it be? We put numbers on the houses. What else can we do for you, pal? It's not like they're in the middle of the street every day with your mail. Johnson, where do you live? Anybody lives around here. Come get your fucking mail. I'm going to shoot somebody. I am too wound up. That's where the comedian comes in, ladies and gentlemen. Yes, yeah, that's a bit of hyperbole. I'm not really saving any lives, but I do like to think, you know, tonight you go home happy. I go home happy. Everyone will be. I'm not giving up until everyone is fucking happy. Even when you go back on the Euro tunnel thing, whatever you're going, all the way from France. How desperate is that? Oh, you live here. Oh, okay. Thanks for ruining what I was building up to. What do you do here?
I'm still at school.
Oh, still at school?
Yeah.
Okay. What are you studying?
A bit of everything.
Bit of everything. Ooh, wow. You got to back off a bit, all right? That's not... You don't need to know everything. So in these bits of everything, what are some of your favorites you might want to focus on? Because some of it you don't really need. Caves. You don't need to know about caves. Cobalt extraction. That's nothing. So what?
Biology.
Biology. Yeah. There you go. Good for you. What's your favorite element on the periodic chart? Everybody's got one. What's your favorite?
Cobalt.
Cobalt.
Yeah.
And the power of suggestion. Just because I said cobalt doesn't mean it's your favorite. Is that why you're here? In the front row like some fucking cobalt groupie? Oh, God, if he says cobalt, I'm going to blow him right here. If he says cobalt, I saw me on that stage hurling roses like a fucking Joni Mitchell concert. He said, Como! Anyway, you know, people ask me, Rich, how did you end up becoming a comedian? I get that question all the time. What kind? How did you end up becoming? Why do you say end up like I made a mistake? Patronizing question. That's what you ask a tramp, isn't it? No, how did you end up living in that skip? This is the greatest job there is. There's no heavy lifting, no Petri dishes, no stocks. You just say intelligent things stupidly when you're a comedian, my friend. That's all you do. Or maybe it's stupid things intelligently. It's not rocket surgery. Because I always get asked that question. Were you the class clown? I bet you were the class clown. Is that why you're a comedian? You're the class clown? Fuck you. Why would you suggest I took a childhood disorder and turned it into a career, you prick? No one ever says to a hooker, were you the class whore? I bet you were the class whore, weren't you? Were you the pound punch? You were, weren't you? Come on. Let the mystery be. As long as you have a laugh, because trust me, in America, you're way down on the totem pole. And when you're a performer in America, you know, comedy. Up here, elevated status. Look at that. Comedian playing the Apollo. That man, wait till I tell him at home. Here's where you are in America. Plate spinners. Robbie Williams impersonators. Robbie Williams. Comedians. That's a pretty good place to be, right? Come on. So I'd like to tell you some things about America, ladies and gentlemen. Don't think I didn't feel the newfound appreciation when I walked out. Just a bit. Just a bit more than I would have felt this time last year when I walked out. Oh, fucking yank. Now it's like, hey, cool. And that has nothing to do with me. That's just because of our wonderful president, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. The man who can do no wrong. He's great. I lost 67% of my material when George Bush left office, ladies and gentlemen. I suffered a production setback like you wouldn't believe, right? I can't make fun of Barack Obama. I'd be a racist. That's how fucked up things are right now. Plus, he's wonderful. He was on TV 5 times last week. The weatherman is only on for 4. He's amazing. But currently, the situation in America is this. We're $11 trillion in debt. We're at war with 2 different countries, and the best-selling film of the summer was Beverly Hills Chihuahua. I saw it on a plane, and I walked out. It's a piece of shit. But we have a good president. Things are fucked, but we have a good... You know what it's like? It's like, you ever go to a Denzel Washington film, and you walk out and you go, that was kind of shit. But Denzel Washington's good, isn't he? He's fantastic. It's exactly what America's like right now, ladies and gentlemen. Got a great president. But we're $11 trillion fucking dollars in debt. The best-selling book of the summer was by Barack Obama. It was called... The Audacity of Hope, which, you know, it's nice. Some of you have read it. I'm sure you have. Or you tried. You know, you get 40, 50 pages in, and you go, a lot of good ideas. I hope they work out. Good luck, Barack. Hope. I hope it works out with your hope. It's just the wrong fucking word, though. The audacity of action is what we need. Hope is a bit desperate, isn't it? Hope is right below wishful thinking and right above performing a rain dance. That's where hope is on the scale of activity. Hope is what you say. I hope it's sunny tomorrow. No one will go, well, that was audacious. Took a lot of balls. Did you hear what he said? He thinks it's going to be sunny tomorrow. You, sir, are a pioneer. But good. I'm glad. That is the best-selling book of the summer. Unfortunately, the second best-selling book of the summer was by the esteemed author Kanye West. If you don't know who Kanye West is, friend, turn to somebody young and ask him. He snatches trophies from little girls' hands. He's an evil prick. He's out stealing ice cream from your child right now. He's a shithead. He's just, you know, and you need him if Gaddafi's doing a speech. That's where he should come in right there. Just give me that. Beyonce's got a better speech than this. Why am I pretending that's a mic when that actually is a mic? That just looked really fucking stupid. Kanye West wrote this book called Thank You and You're Welcome, and it was flying off the shelves in America. And it's Kanye's guide for how to lead a better life if you're Kanye West and presumably a billionaire hip hop star. But it was 54 pages long, and 4 of the pages were blank, and it was co-written. That's right. Kanye West's 54-page tome on how to live a better life, his self-help book, 54 fucking pages, and at some point he hit a creative roadblock and had to bring in someone to help him finish his 54-page fucking glow-in-the-dark, that's right, phosphorescent 54-page self-help book. See that right there? Britain has no self-help culture. You walk into a bookshop in America and the self-help section takes up half the bookshop. Here, if you walk into a bookstore and said, where's your self-help section? You know what they'd say? Find it yourself, fuckface. That's the first step toward a new improved you right there, isn't it? Anyway, it was 1 sentence per page. And a lot of people bought it and went, wow, this Kanye West is onto something. So the foreword was the densest part of the entire book. It was 3 sentences. And the first one said this: I am a proud non-reader of books. I don't even know what the hell that means. So you're proud to be a non-reader of the thing that you just published? What the hell's wrong with you? What does that mean? He explained it in the second sentence. It said this: because books be so wordy and shit. Yeah, I've noticed that myself, Kanye. Books tend to be a bit text-heavy, don't they? Maybe you want to maybe lean towards Sudokus. That might be more in line with what the fuck you were thinking. And shit. Books be so wordy and shit. That is the greatest literary device right there ever. Just put put and shit at the end of any sentence and watch horizons expand. Call me Ishmael and shit. It was the best of times, it was the worst of times, and shit. So it flew off the shelves, and that gives you an idea of the disparity right there, you know, where we could be and where we are. I'm saying this only in a patriotic way, ladies and gentlemen. I want my country to be better. I want every place to be better. There, see? So, I don't think as a comedian, you know, you really get to make any tremendous impact. So anybody who's ever stood on this stage was probably lying to you over their explanations why they were a comedian. You know, they always like to say, oh, I love to make people laugh. Any performer, they'll tell you that. They'll go, oh, people sing, they dance, they feel good. What a load of shit. You just want to be famous. You want to be famous so that when you die, you get a slightly bigger paragraph than the stock option guy, right? I'm not saying anything's going to happen to you. I'm not psychic. I'm just saying that anybody who stands on a stage, because you know, you know how you look in the broadsheets every day in Britain and there's always 3 significant people dead? Doesn't that strike you as eerie? How do they find 3 famous people to die every day? I think they just bump people off just to fill up the paper sometimes. But if you're not famous, what do you get when you die, my friend? A lousy paragraph. One lousy paragraph in the Horsham Echo, right? It's not fair, is it? You work hard, you sell your stocks, you raise a family, you do the best you can, and when you get one lousy fucking... Right next to the classifieds, too. So there's you dead, there's all your shit for sale. That's what you have to look forward to. You know, so I was traveling around Ireland. We've been on tour in Ireland, and it's a country perfectly capable of entertaining itself. I had no idea what I was doing here. What a sense of humor. Even when it's tragic, it's fucking funny. I saw this headline. It said, Cork Man Drowns. That's not possible. And I'm laughing at the headline. I'm thinking, holy fuck, if this guy's name is Bob, I'm going to shit myself. And it was. It's unbelievable, right? So, now and then, ladies and gentlemen, you'll see comedians doing huge... The last time I was on this stage was a benefit, because Brits have this lofty ideal that the Americans don't have, and it's amazing when it happens and when it works. And it's the idea of getting together and you know, for a cause and sort of blending entertainment with a global cause, which really doesn't happen, didn't used to happen in America until Al Gore took things over and ripped off the idea from Bob Geldof. I don't know what the fuck happened there. Bob Geldof used to organize these events, and he must be nailed to a cross somewhere and can't get down, because now it's Al Gore, big piece of Tennessee, fucking pork fat, 12-bedroom mansion, man who won an Academy Award for Best PowerPoint Presentation, Al Gore, narcoleptic piece of shit stumblebutt, is suddenly the spokesman for global warming, and occasionally likes to put on concerts around the world to make people more aware of global warming, as if you didn't know what the fuck was going on already. Because you can just tell, can you? Things are heating up a bit. I can't change it. Maybe the biologists will change it someday. So that you're the future, right? But you never see comedians at any of these events, right? Al Gore put on 6 concerts around the world and decided that the primary spokesman for the entire event was going to be Snoop Doggy Dogg. That's right. Because who better to get the message of global warming across to youngsters than Snoop, who unfortunately wasn't available because he'd been caught smoking crack from a hooker's ass in Sweden. I thought maybe I was the next in line for the gig. Do I get the phone call? Fuck no. You're my neighbor, Gore. You pick up the phone, you piece of shit. Every time I see Snoop Doggy Dogg, he comes out on stage and does this. The crowd's much larger than this, and he says, wave your motherfucking hands in the air. What's my name? What's wrong with him? It's like an exercise video for amnesiacs. I feel like you want to help him out. Your name is Snoop Doggy Dogg. You gave it to yourself so you wouldn't forget it. What the hell is wrong with him? Stop pointing to your cock. Why is he pointing to his cock? We know where your cock is. Show me Norway on a map. I'll fall out of my fucking chair, I promise. Here's a typical Snoop Doggy Dogg lyric. You decide. All my bitches got to be vicious. Suck my dick till it shines like dishes. How the fairy liquid people passed on that ad campaign is beyond me. Boy, they really dropped the ball on that one, did they? Suck my dick till it shines like dishes. What the fuck's that got to do with global warming? It was at that point that I realized the harmful effects CO2 emissions were having on the planet. Thank God Mr. Doggy Dog pointed out there was a hole in the ozone. I had no idea there was even a problem. So, who knows, ladies and gentlemen, what it'll be like 5 years from now, 10 years from now? Do you have faith in mankind? Do you think we'll endure, persevere, exist, survive? We're all going to be alligator purses. It's going to get fucking hot. And I like what Obama said yesterday. I like what Obama said back in September. And he's just saying, you know, he gives his speech. Well, every country, listen, we're going to change our ways, and we're going to be more approachable, and we're not going to be iconoclastic, and we're going to reach out, we're going to help. But every country has to pick itself up. And then immediately after, the president of the Maldives gets up, you know, and he just says, no one's paying any attention to us. We're only 2 meters above sea level. By the year 2050, we're going to be underwater. Doesn't anybody care about us? We need help. And I was just thinking, build a fucking wall. Start now. Build a fucking wall. Start piling it up brick by brick, cement by cement. Holy fuck, the pyramid only took 40. For fuck's sake, stop whining, you Maldive bastard. What it comes down to is this, ladies and gentlemen. You never want to meet your heroes, you know? Have you ever talked to someone and they've met someone famous, and so immediately you ask them, what were they like? And you're hoping against hope that they'll say he was an asshole. Because if they actually, oh, he's a really nice guy, you go, really? But they go, what an asshole. Really? What happened? Tell me. And I wonder about that, you know, because a lot of people always try to decide who's the nicest person in Hollywood. And for a long time, it was Tom Cruise and Nicole Kidman, and then that went down the shitter, right? And but they were supposedly the nicest people in Hollywood. Yeah. Is that you, Tom? Because it's not fucking true, all right? I don't know. I remember when they broke up, and, you know, they were the golden couple, and I remember there were people in Los Angeles. They were interviewing these women in Los Angeles who were had tears streaming down their cheeks, and the day that Tom and Nicole broke up, and the reporter asked them, well, why are you crying? And one of the women said, if a golden couple like that can't make it, what chance do I have? Well, at least you're not married to a 4'9" Scientology midget, all right? What the hell's wrong with you? You're going to meet someone. But they were so nice. Of course they're fucking nice. He makes $25 million a fucking film. If I was getting $25 million for this, I'd be blowing people in the front row. That's how fucking nice I'd be. That might be too nice. He's not that nice. I did meet someone who worked at a hotel, and Tom Cruise was staying there, and I said, so what's he like? And he said, here's what he's like. We weren't allowed to make eye contact with him because he didn't want to talk about the plot to his new film. As if just staring Tom Cruise in the face, he'd crack under pressure. What are you looking at? Hey, you want to hear about my new film? You ever seen a Tom Cruise film like he couldn't figure it out in 18 fucking seconds flat? He's a cocktail maker. He's a pretty good cocktail maker, too. Until he has a crisis of confidence and can't make cocktails anymore. And he meets a good-looking woman who talks him into being a better cocktail maker. What a riveting piece of cinema that was. Then he was a jet pilot. A pretty good jet pilot, too. So he had a crisis of confidence, couldn't fly jets anymore, and then he met a good-looking woman who talked him into being a better jet pilot. Then he was a sports agent. Some of you are starting to see a pattern emerge here. Pretty good sports agent, yes, he was, until he had a crisis of confidence, and then wasn't sure he was such a good sports agent. Then he met a good-looking woman, talked him into being a better sports agent. He was the brother of a retarded guy. I don't fucking know. And he was a pretty good brother of a retarded guy. So he had a crisis of confidence and wasn't sure he was such a good brother. Then he met a good-looking woman to talk him into being a better brother of a retarded guy. Then he was a Civil War samurai. What the fuck? In his last movie, he was a Hitler killer. And he was a pretty good Hitler killer. Until he had a crisis of confidence and realized that Hitler wasn't going to be killed. Then he met... He could be a fucking Scrabble player in his next film and it wouldn't matter. He's a pretty good Scrabble player. But he fails to draw any vowels whatsoever. There's a crisis of consonants. Yep, there you go. So, let me just wrap this up, ladies and gentlemen. This evening is so star-studded that I am merely the opening act. That's right. We didn't even tell you about Cliff Richard in the shadows. We're going to pop out here for 10 minutes. What the fuck are you doing? Give me that. Give me that. This is a fucking DVD taping. And you're actually watching Beverly Hills Chihuahua. You just downloaded it. What the hell is wrong with you? Are you filming? What are you filming?
I just wanted a photo.
You wanted a photo of me? On that. Yeah, all right. You know, you can buy the DVD in about 3 months. That'll be a much clearer photo. And you'll be in it. And make sure you're all over it now. In fact, look at this. Show this fuckwit watching his phone while I'm on stage. Get that, huh? There you go. Yeah. You've been a fantastic crowd. I won't be here the next half. Wink, wink. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you again. Good night. Would you please welcome three of the finest musicians within their price range, ladies and gentlemen, the Honky Tonk Assholes.
I ain't gonna work down on the river. I ain't gonna work down on the farm. Lay around a shack till the mail train gets back. Then I'll roll in my sweet baby's arms. So roll in my sweet baby's arms. Rolling my sweet baby's arms. Lay around the shack till the mail train gets back. Rolling my sweet baby's arms. Ladies and gentlemen, the British American Prisoner Exchange System is proud to present, all the way from the Brushy Mountain State Correctional Facility in Tennessee, you paid for the whole seat, but right now you're only gonna need the edge of it. Please welcome to the stage, Mr. Otis Lee Crenshaw!
Mr. Myron T. Buttram, ladies and gentlemen. Drink him in, ladies. Nine-time Walmart Night Manager of the Month. There he is. What a catch. Yeah, all right, what? Are there any Brendas in the audience? I am available, the paperwork is already done. But sir, you're pushing it a bit, unless your name is Brendan. But God bless you. Are you a fan of country music back there, the vocal fella?
Yeah.
Oh, you moved. Speedy little fucker, isn't he? Do you see that? Shot all the way over to the... Who's your favorite country musician, my friend? Johnny Cash. No better choice out there. The wonderful... Back when country music meant something, God damn it. Not like that evil fucking triumvirate of fuckwits who run country music now. Garth Brooks and Shania Twain and Keith Urban. Keith fucking Urban, that's right. Lank-haired, waxy-shouldered fucking Australian twit. Urban. There's a name that invokes all the rural qualities country music's always stood for. Keith fucking Urban. True country music, my friend. Back in the days when Johnny Cash walked the walk and walked the line and talked the talk, generally moved in a linear fashion. Actual country music meant something. None of that waffling like they do now when they bring out Garth Brooks on a big Peter Pan wire, that 280-pound fucking weeble of a human being. And he plops down on the stage, and then he brings up some kid in a wheelchair. Always finds a kid in a wheelchair. Gets him up on stage and embarrasses the fuck out of him. Gets down on his knees and sings to him, gives him $50 and pushes him off the fucking stage. Patronizing piece of shit. Anyway, a man never stands so tall as when he stoops to help a child. Fuck you, Garth, you're 4'9", all right? You never stand tall. Just sing your goddamn songs about the bull no one can ride and get on with it for crying out loud. True country music. Men like Johnny Cash. Johnny Paycheck. That's right, Johnny Paycheck. The alternative, Johnny Cash. Johnny Paycheck, who once shot a man in the head over an argument over a recipe for turtle soup. And he was acquitted. Turns out he was correct. Needed bay leaves. That's as much information as I have on that story. So there you go, fella. What's that? Billy Ray Cyrus. Billy Ray Cyrus is about as fucking country as a bag of fucking wet mice, all right? Billy Ray Cyrus is just the father of a teenage billionaireess. That's what the fuck he's doing now. Riding coattails about 3 fucking miles long. Right up Disney's ass. Billy Ray Cyrus. Holy shit. Am I coming across bitter at all? True country music, ladies and gentlemen, is lying there on the floor with a bottle of Jack Daniels because another woman's walked across your heart like a Samoan man in golf shoes. That's right. It hurts. It hurts. Some of you people in the front row know it. You've been through that heartache, haven't you, fella? You, the big fella there. Not you. No, I'm no longer talking to you. You're doing all right. Trust me. You're doing real well. Not that you aren't as well, fella. Is this your wife? It is. How long you been in love there, buddy? Let me back up. Keep in mind you're on camera right now. How long have you been in love? I'm going to give you another chance to get this right. 24 years, my friend. Congratulations. That is a donkey ride to hell and back, my friend. 24 years, that is true love. That is having gone through some tunnel and come out the other end. And I'm trusting that this is the woman that you've been together with for 24 years? Oh, it's not. Well, now you got some explaining to do. That's her? Of course it is. Are you a fan of country music, my friend?
In a word?
In a word. No. Not a fan. I'm going to change your mind tonight, my friend. By the end of this taping, you're going to be half naked on this stage with a bottle of tequila, singing to Achy Breaky Heart, you bastard, just to appease that fucker up there. And what kind of work do you do?
What kind of work do I do?
Yes.
I'm a civil engineer.
Civil engineer. God bless you. Yeah. As opposed to those fucking renegade engineers just running around being completely uncivil. Building a bridge and then tagging it with spray paint. What's the last thing that you built there, Mr. Engineer fella?
I'm rebuilding Neasden Underground.
You're rebuilding Neasden?
Yeah.
And it's about fucking time. Single-handedly, are you? That's quite an undertaking, my friend. Well, you need to pay a little less attention to structural ideas and a little more to love, because 24 years, don't take it for granted, my friend. You take her home tonight and you sing her some engineering songs. Bridges to love, that sort of thing. Angles, theorems, whatever the fuck it takes. I don't know. You know your way around math?
Yes.
Good for you. Get out some trigonometry equations and every time you see the word angle, change it to angel. That'll work. I denote you angel factorially. You are my adjacent angel. Oh, a cute angel. Something. Or else I can serenade her. What's your name? Yes, no. The one I've been talking about for the last 5 minutes.
Jackie.
Jackie. Jackie. J for Jackie. A for alluring. C for the comfort that Jackie gives. Kay, oh, fuck me. For caring. I, for the intelligence that she brings. E, and my feelings would be longer if your name was stronger. And my feelings would be stronger if your name was longer. All right, Jackie. Let's bring the lights down just a bit. I'm going to. You don't mind if I sling one tour, do you?
No.
All right, Jackie. This one's for you. All the way to Neasden. Jackie. We go out walking. Just us two. Ain't much in this world I wouldn't do for you. And if a man with a knife said your money or your life, I wouldn't think twice. And I'd stand my ground and not give an inch. Coiled like a spring, I wouldn't even flinch. I would stare into the eyes of that son of a bitch. And this is what I'd say. Do anything you want to the girl, just don't hurt me. I might be crazy, but I ain't reckless. She's got a diamond ring, she's got a necklace. Look in her purse, you'll find keys to a Lexus. Me, I'll be on my way. Do anything you want to the girl, just don't hurt me. Harmonize, you bastards. Yeah, what a funny old way to measure love, to find out where you stand when push comes to shove. Cause right now it ain't you that I'm thinking of. It's me, it's me, it's me, 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 me. I love me. Do anything you want to the girl, just don't hurt me. Jackie. Two's company, but three's a crowd. I was thinking maybe we should break up anyhow. I could use some space from you, especially right now. So help yourself, mister. I ain't no hero. Her bank card PIN number is 4130. Do anything you want to the girl, just don't hurt me. Sing along, you know the chorus by now, Jackie. Do anything you say to the girl, just don't hurt me. All right. Here's another one that's never going to see the recording light of day. I don't know what it is, ladies and gentlemen. There's just something completely wrong, and we can't get a break. This is by far and away the finest establishment we've ever been asked to perform in. Most of them usually have the word exchange at the end of it and the name of some vegetable in front. Quite often a meat raffle, or we have to judge an animal, or there's a drain in the middle of the floor. All I'm saying is, I don't know if Apollo deserves us or we deserve the Apollo, but goddammit, we're going to change people's minds about country music tonight. All right, it's about time. If you're not in love, you will be by the time this is over. We can't all have 24 years of happiness. I've been married 6 times. I know what the fuck I'm talking about. All the women named Brenda. So there is a Brenda out there. That'd be a hell of an ending to this show, wouldn't it? Why not jump in one more time? I can do without your cynicism, my friend. See, that's the thing, right? People are in love, and some people get a bit upset about it. They don't like to see it. It's going to hit you, my friend. You are going to fall in love. It's going to bite you in the ass like a chihuahua, and then you won't be laughing like that with your little fucking true love. And then you'll be nuts, because that's what happens when you fall in love. It's the most sincere form of insanity. It's fucking beautiful. You're crazy and all your friends support you. You're nuts. Shit songs on the radio start to sound good. That's when you know you're in love. Well, that Krista Berg's got something to say. No, he fucking doesn't, all right? Just get over it. So you can be in love or you can be crazy. It's pretty much the same thing. Take off your coat. Take off your boot. Take off your woolly hat and your boiler suit. Take off your ripped seam stockings and your one running shoe. Take off your wedding dress, your camouflage vest and your one ski glove. Bag lady, bag lady.
make love. I've got a half a fried chicken and a tenants in a can. Every woman I ever met, I just drove around the bend. Cause love will make you crazy. Let's avoid the middleman. I know it makes no sense. Tonight my only wish is just to spend the night with someone who speaks total gibberish. So put your hand in mine beneath the Hammersmith stars. Tomorrow you can go back to screaming at cars. Bag lady. She gets on the bus and off the bus and 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 then she tries to drive the bus. It might be crazy, it might be strange, but she had me at the moment she screamed, got some change. We both got one big issue. Mine is just to kiss you beneath the stars above, so bad lady. Cause who's to say who's crazy? You know what I'm saying? 24 years later, you start to doubt your own sanity, don't you, fella? It's fucking London, we're crying out loud. Who can tell who's crazy and who's not? You can play guitar and harmonica at the same time like Neil Young or Bob Dylan. Well, you're a genius. Make that extra effort to strap some cymbals to your knees and people will cross the street to get the fuck away from you. Understand what I'm saying? Who's to say? We both got one big issue. Mine is just to kiss you beneath the stars above. We both got one big issue. Mine is just to kiss you beneath the stars above. So bag lady, let's make love.
Mood you want to set right there on a Friday night in London. People wrapping their arms around each other, getting a bit crazy. I'm from the great state of Tennessee, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't been to Tennessee, let me describe it for you. Quite often they freak out because they think there's Russian troops next door in the state of Georgia who are going to cross the line again at any moment. It's not the geographically savvy kind of place. I did not have that privileged London upbringing. These didn't work. We were poor. I don't want sympathy. I'm just saying we were fucking poor. Poor. Poor, poor. I mean poor. I mean my dad would take us down to Kentucky Fried Chicken and let us lick people's fingers. That's how fucking poor we were, all right? When I say growing up in a trailer, here it translates as caravan, which gives it some sort of a nomadic romance to it. Trust me, a fucking trailer doesn't go anywhere. Just a big box. You better get used to living in it because you're going to be in one for eternity, and that's what it is. It's a fucking, it's a tornado magnet, and your job is to hold it down. So if you haven't been to Tennessee, it has its history. You know, there's a play here called Inherit the Wind. It's all about the Scopes Monkey Trial in Tennessee. It's got nothing to do with monkeys, by the way. It's called the Trial of the Century. It was a debate between the people of Tennessee and the court over whether man descended from the hand of God, as it's written in Genesis, or whether there was some primordial ooze involved, a la Darwin. And, of course, the people of Tennessee decided beyond a shadow of a doubt that man came straight from the hand of God. Adam and Eve had two sons. Here we are. Without really examining the holes in that logic, that's a law that still exists today in Tennessee. So if you don't go to Tennessee and talk religion, they'll just beat you over the head with a Bible, chapter of your choice. Right, Horst? I'm not a religious person. I'd see it as an insurance policy for the afterlife. And I ain't ready to fucking cash in yet. Because who knows what happens when you're dead? You know what I'm saying? I don't know why Protestants hate Catholics. I don't know why Baptists hate Methodists. I don't know why fucking Shiites hate Sunnis. There's that much difference in those two religions. That much. The difference between hair and fur, and they're fucking killing each other every day. Just goes to show you in a country with no Jews or blacks to hate, people will improvise, won't they? I'm not a fan of organized religion. I'm more like a Jehovah's bystander. You ever been to the Vatican?
I never
have. Byron, I went to the Vatican last summer. Unbelievable. Crossing the Vatican, there's a McDonald's. Do you know that? It's disgusting. You You're sitting there trying to enjoy your hamburger. Got to stare out the window at this franchise that's been responsible for stolen art and kitty fiddling for 2,000 fucking years. That's wrong. Just trying to enjoy a Happy Meal. So this is kind of a Tennessee love song, ladies and gentlemen. Roberta. Roberta. Girl, you know how much I care. Roberta. Roberta. Girl, I can't take you anyway. It's your sister's wedding night. She's all dressed in white, and so are you. Oh, Roberta. Roberta. Girl, you gotta quit that Ku Klux Klan. It ain't clever. South ain't never. Ever, 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 ever gonna rise again. Hate tattooed across your knuckles, a shotgun down your pants, wondering why no one's asking you to dance. Roberta. Roberta. You're embarrassing the bride and groom. Don't be racist. Stop yelling at the bassist. I don't think the wedding band knows any skinhead tunes. Well, you say that you're the master race, but you can't even show your face. Now give me back my pillowcase. Play that thing, David. Make it weep. Mr. David Lindsay on the banjo, ladies and gentlemen. Roberta. Roberta. Let's buy you a brand new dress and shoes. Maybe downright sassy. Something that says a little more about you than you hate blacks and Jews. A white supremacist, so you claim. Well, I think you mispronounced that name. That's a fan of Diana Ross. Put down your burning cross, Roberta. 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 Girl, you gotta quit that Ku Klux Klan. Anyone gaining any more appreciation for the wayward art of country music? Do you have country music in France? Where's my friend? There he is. Nothing. Not even close. It's a country. You have music. Surely, at some point, they could meet. Is there anything even close to country music? Is there any kind of redneck music? What would be the French word for redneck?
Kanye West.
Kanye West? Redneck? Fella, you need to get a color TV. Fill you in on certain things. What kind of music do you like?
Rock.
Rock. Oh, yeah. What, Foo Fighters? Yeah, they're all right. I'm here to burst your bubble, kid. Not a fucking penny the Foo Fighters have ever earned actually goes to fighting Foo. None. Not a penny. They're charlatans, bastards. We fight Foo every fucking day of our lives, don't we? We don't even brag about it. We just do it. Root it out at the source. Chinese restaurants. We've been out of the loop for a while, so somebody explain to me, at what point did Iggy Pop start selling fucking car insurance? Where did that one come from? Surely that's a sign of a biblical apocalypse, isn't it? And the one who crawls through glass shall see that others are insured against such an incident. Does he think no one in America is going to find out he sold his ass down the river? I'm going to go back and report that bastard. There's a man who used to get his cock out and wave it in the front row in people's faces, now selling car insurance. Does this man have no dignity whatsoever? So what's your name?
Alex.
Alex. He's a future biologist right there, Myron. That is the future of science right there. And once again, country music has not really embraced biology, has it? I can't think of one country song that actually talks about biologists. Well, maybe there's that one. Can you think of any country songs? Any songs ever been written about biology, Alex?
Not really, no.
Yeah, well, you're wrong. There is that one. It's that one that all the biologists like to sit around and sing while they're, you know, waiting for their studies to congeal. I don't know. Alex, and where are you from in France?
The South.
Just the South.
Marseille.
Oh, all right then. Well, sing along if you know the words, Alex. Through the dust and the dirt of biological hell walked a giant of a man that folks knew well. He was kind of mean, kind of scrawny, not tall. He had some gall. He was called Big Alex. No one knew that much about his past, but he could biologicize and do it fast. And men got jealous and women tried to make a pass when he'd walk down the street. They'd say, my God, who's that man? Alex. He's from France. Marseille, they say. And he knows his way around a Petri dish, Big Alex. They say that he got in some trouble down in Marseille, where he got in a fight with another biologist one day, and out in the street, the two of them fought, and when the dust had settled, there was just a bit of cobalt. And a fella they call Big Alex. Big Alex. Big Alex. Big Bad Alex. There's a story in Marseille that they all like to tell of the day that Timmy Johnson got trapped in the well. And as a crowd gathered about, someone screamed, please, someone get that kid out. True story. And the dad went a little crazy, and the mom went wild, and then the entire crowd was singing, someone help that child, and the air grew still, and the sky grew black. A big booming voice said, stand back, I'm a biologist. And he stared down into that watery grave, and he knew right then that there was a life that had to be saved. And that's when Alex did what he does, which is to save the little kid, because he's a hero they call Big Alex. Right, Alex? And how exactly would you do that? Because I'm in so fucking far over my head now, it's not even funny. You're a biologist. You gotta get trapped in the well. How do you save it? Going under, Alex. No time to speak. How do you save it?
I don't know.
You don't know. With that typical fucking French laissez-faire attitude. Well, you know. Oh, yes, he did. In that moment, he did something bold. He got a Petri dish and developed a mold. And as the mold expanded, there on the ground, little Timmy landed, and he pushed the water out of his lungs and then gave him the French kiss of life, you know, with tongues. True story. And at the bottom of that well, they put a bench and a plaque. And a plaque and a bench. And it said something like, Voici dormez-vous Alex Le Gros Q. I don't know, I don't fucking speak French. You can understand the country music frustration about trying to sing about the biological occupation of a man in France, and you can't kick a horse when a horse is dead, and for fuck's sake, I wish I'd sung to the fucking cabinet guy instead. Big Alex.
Big Alex.
Big bad Alex. Every night we do that song. It's fucking never worked before. Tonight, a fellow with the right name and the right occupation to give it the credibility it deserved. Do you have a sweetheart, Alex?
No.
Girlfriend?
Not at the moment.
Not at the moment. Soon? That song's going to do wonders for you, my friend. Oh, good for you. We don't, as a rule, we don't try to do that many romantic songs, but you know what? It's Friday night. There's a lot of people in love here, not just 24 years, but I can feel it. How many people are in love and willing to admit it? Some sort of editing process that will boost that sound. It's a lonely city. So we're going to do a romantic one. Alex, you're going to have to sit this one out, my friend. But the rest of you, if you're either sweetheart, put your arm around him or her now. People ask me who writes these songs, and I'll take the blame, but tonight we're going to do a brand new one just for this DVD, and these fellas have written their own parts. You'll understand why, due to the nature of the song. You ready?
I sure am.
Here we go. Piano's like a woman. Sometimes classy, sometimes grand. She's not always black and white. Sometimes she's hard to understand. The way your melody just lingers. The way she slips right through your fingers. Whoa, 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 whoa. The piano's like a woman. Piano's like a woman.
That's real pretty.
Take it away.
Okay. The guitar is like a woman. So elegant and tasteful. The way she swerves and her body curves. Her neck is long and graceful.
Nice.
And when you hold her like a lover on a sultry midnight stroll, the guitar is like a woman. It's even got a hole.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Did you just say what I think you said? It's got a hole. That didn't scan at all the way you thought it was going to scan. It's got a fucking hole. Are you out of your mind? They were swooning. Did you not feel it? There are people holding each other, moving back and forth, swaying, graceful, tasteful. It's got a hole. Are you out of your...
I kind of ran out of inspiration.
When I turn this way, I'm done talking to you.
You didn't let me get to the part with the smaller hole at the back here.
Yeah, you're not going to either, all right?
Banjo's like a woman. Nobody wants to hear it.
See what he did there? called being succinct. That's 30 years of anguish and torment and pain channeled into two lines. He didn't mislead the fucking graceful, tasteful, and then boom, it's got a hole. Like a perfect fucking haiku right there. Horse.
Double bass like a woman. It's big, fat, loves to be sacked.
Much sums it up right there, doesn't it? Clearly, did I not say I wanted to get off this comedy monkey go round and do a proper romantic song, you fucking bastards? The only way you're going to record an album these days is to make something litigious. Just do a song that ends up in court. Do a song that gets you sued. Do a song that just people want to see what the furor is about, and so they'll go out and buy it because it's creating all kinds of problems. So, that's where we're going to take this one. This song is called Fuck Disney. That's right, Alex. You and your fucking Euro Disney bullshit. It's Disney that has ruined the lives of people in this room. The youngsters who don't even know how those evil corporate bastards have brainwashed them. Every fucking... Yes, exactly. It's about time that he yelled it out and fought back, goddammit. Whenever you watch a Disney animated film, the mom gets whacked in the first 5 minutes. That began with Bambi, and it ends with right through Lilo and Stitch and Wall-E or whatever current fucking Disney film is out. Wall-E's mom isn't even in the fucking film. She's killed before the film even starts, and she's a robot. That's how fucking evil they are. Sons of bitches. Fucking Disney animated snuff. That's what a fucking Disney film is. It's time somebody pointed it out. Alex. This is a sing-along, it's called Fuck Disney, and you're gonna be part of it, my friend, because you got a lot to answer for. Come on up here, Alex. Get up here. Yeah, just have a seat, Alex. Give him a mic. It's very self-explanatory, it's a sing-along, and it's called Fuck Disney. Where's our drummer? Ladies and gentlemen, that's Mr. Mark Hewitt, asleep in the truck. Situation. You'll be fine. We don't really have a drum, so Alex, you're going to have to fulfill two different parts during this song. You'll be so moved to anger that by the time your part comes around, we won't even have to prompt you. You're just going to yell it, all right? And this is a song about the Disney's work policy that still exists today. About a year ago, come last May, I went out to Orlando, FLA. I got a job at Disney World, just sweeping the pavement. Life was good and I liked the work, and there was all kinds of little perks. They even gave me 2-week paid vacation. Well, I drank some beer and I lazed about, and I kind of let my hair grow out. I had a 2-week growth of beard as thick as a bear. Went back to work for the folks that hired me. They called me in the office, and right there they fired me. The man said, son, it's on account of your facial hair. What? I said. Disney policy, the man explained. No worker shall come to Disney World with facial hair. It's considered unsanitary by Disney standards. Let me get this straight. Every day, people leave the house to come here and see Mickey Mouse, a disease-infested rodent who lives in walls. Donald's a duck has never been seen anywhere wearing pants. That's obscene. And Goofy's a dog. He has likely been licking his balls. And you got the nerve to tell me I'm unsanitary? I went to the shop and bought me some scissors. Great big box of razors. I stood on that Main Street parade feeling low and mean. And all of a sudden from the corner of my eye, I saw Baloo the bear come walking by. And I wrestled that bastard to the ground and I shaved him clean. Blackbeard the Pirate and Captain Hook and Grumpy and Dopey and Sneezy and Doc. I broke into the metal shed where they keep Walt Disney's frozen head, and I grabbed a hammer, broke the glass, and I shaved that son of a bitch's mustache. You got some nerve telling me I'm unsanitary, you bastard. So fuck you, Disney. I'm not alone. It's a class action suit if we all sing along and there's such a thing as coming in on the right moment, isn't there? Trump!
Fuck this.
Fuck you, Disney. I'm not alone.
Fuck you, Disney.
It's class action suit. We all sing along, so you might want to get the timing right on the count of three and then yell, fuck Disney. Ready? Here we go. One, two, three.
Fuck you, Disney.
You're taking some liberties here, aren't you? Again. Ready? Go, Alex. One, two, three.
Fuck you, Disney.
Two, three.
Fuck Disney.
One, two, three, in French! Alex, are you even from France? Fuck you, Disney, in French.
Disney, allez-vous faire foutre?
Yeah! All right, let's open up the doors and let them hear through the streets of Hammersmith, everyone, ladies and gentlemen. One, two, three. One, two, three.
Fuck Disney.
Louder, two, three.
Fuck you, Disney.
Oh. Yeah. Let's hear it for Alex. There you go. Ah, fucking keep it. In case the village people ever get back together. Go on. Fantastic, ladies and gentlemen. What should we do? Let's take them home on a happy one. Let's break the mold. Most country music is depressing and you fucking know it, but god damn it. You want a happy song? Good, because we don't have any. But this is as close as we'll come to a happy song, ladies and gentlemen. They say that you should write songs about the things closest to you, so this is a song about my neighbor. Features a drumming of Mr. Mark Hewitt. He's been living in the truck, ladies and gentlemen. It's a song about finding beauty no matter where you live. I don't care if it's somewhere in Tennessee or Horsham or anywhere in between. There's always something redeeming about where you're from. She's got a restraining order on her teenage daughter. She's got a pit bull by the door. Her brother Sam claims he was in Vietnam, but he was 5 and 74. She checks her lipstick smear in the rearview mirror. She puts her feet on my dash. Then she asks me, when exactly did we become white trash? Alabama, Louisiana, to the West Virginia. You can't ignore the state on your license plate. You're in a white trash state of mind. I got it made. My bills are paid and I've got a PhD. But it stands for Pizza Hut Delivery and it ain't exactly a degree. But a day will come when them oil drums in the front yard spring a leak. And as that oil flows, we'll find a pot of gold in the rain. Alabama, Louisiana, yeah, I guess I'm doing fine. There are nights I only feel right in a there are nights I only feel right in a white trash state of mind. Take it away, Dave. Dave Lindsay on the banjo, ladies and gentlemen. Keep it going. Let's pick up the pace. Faster. Get him going. I've got a George Foreman grill. A George Foreman grill. If you won't cook my dinner, George Foreman will. A George Foreman grill. I've got a George Foreman grill. If you won't cook my dinner. He was a master of masters in the sweetest science. To you, he's just a name on a kitchen appliance. How can you be so stupid? How can you be so dumb not to know that George Foreman was as mean as they come? He went 8 rounds in Kinshasa with Muhammad Ali. He didn't flow like a butterfly or sting like a bee. He just lay on that canvas all quiet and still. He was dreaming up the plans for a cheap sandwich grill. You fight for the glory, bring men to their knees, and now your face is on a kitchen counter covered in cheese. I've got a George Foreman grill. I've got a George Foreman grill. If you won't cook my dinner, I've got a George Foreman grill. I've got a George Foreman grill. Ladies and gentlemen, how about a hand for Mr. Myron T. Buttram on the guitar? On the drums, Mr. Mark Hewitt, ladies and gentlemen. Horace Burks the second on the double bass. And Lonesome Dave Lindsay on the banjo, ladies and gentlemen. You folks have been a fantastic crowd. Thank you for coming out to the Apollo. Enjoy your winter, summer, spring. We'll see you again.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Mr. Otis Lee Crenshaw.
In the encore, we just shoot back out here because why not? Thanks so much for coming out, ladies and gentlemen. It's made a huge difference. Otherwise, what we have is a music video in front of a junkyard. Let's do a heartfelt one. Thank you. Thanks, Dave. Let's do one that addresses the economy. All the men out here do the best they can to provide, and the women who work hard, and it's just all fucked. It's just all fucked, and it has a tendency to emasculate a human when he's just trying to find love in a time of economic crisis. That is the biggest bullshit introduction to a song I've ever done in my life. Tonight, as we make love, you seem distant, and I love you to your cotton socks and shoes. You're a whore in the bedroom and an angel in the kitchen. We live in a one-room shack, so I guess you're confused. As your head pounds the headboard of a bed that's not yet paid for, are you dreaming of some other man who brings you finer stuff? I'm behind in the rent, I'm behind in the car payments, and I can't give you anything but love. From behind your eyes I seem to sense a certain disappointment. It's not the perfect life that you dreamt of. You make me mount you like a dog while you stare at things in catalogs, and I can't give you anything but love. From behind the clouds I see a brand new moon on the horizon, and I'm thankful to my lucky stars above, 'cause you're an angel, but you're not the only one who's fantasizing. And I can't give you anything but love. From behind, I'll try hard not to crush your halo, but I'm pretending that you're J-Lo, and I can't give you anything but love. From the true heroes in there. Do we have any Scots people, Scots persons, Scots women? There they are, the two representative people. Is that it? Where else? Scottish? Good for you. Where are you from in Scotland? Glasgow. Ooh, hey. What gang are you associated with? Dundee? What? What's that? Rangers. Oh, okay. There we go. Sectarian violence breaking out during the fucking encore. All right, my friend. Not many singers would address their last song to four people in the audience, but what the fuck? Because I had a religious experience in Glasgow, my friend. I discovered the single malt. Why I've been wasting my life on any other swill is fucking beyond me. The patience, the beauty, the essence, the purity that goes into brewing the single malt is a thing of pure beauty. It is absolutely wonderful. Of all the wonderful things that the Scots have given us, that's it. Led to my sixth divorce. Single malt. Expensive fucking bastard, isn't it? And my wife, Brenda, number six, said, if you can afford a single malt, why can't you take me to the Waffle Hut? Jesus Christ. I said, damn, baby, you got to shut up. I think this whiskey is older than you. A little respect for your elders, for fuck's sake. So my friend from Glasgow, here's a story of the Scotsman who invented the single malt and brought the process to America in that way that only Americans can. They completely fucked it up. My name's Angus. I come from Perth, traveled 3,000 miles over God's green earth to a tar paper shack in the Tennessee hills with just a shirt on my back and some whiskey-making skills. I had a God-given talent for the single malt. America stole it. It wasn't my fault, and they made it with raisins, and they made it with corn, and they called it Jack Daniels, and that was the night domestic violence was born. Give me back my whiskey. Give me back my whiskey. Before you dispelled it, mine before you could steal it, sell it, fill it with the kind of shit no self-respecting man would even feed his dog. Now, a Scotsman will tell you that the single malt led to the age of enlightenment and thought.
They gave us tarmac and the telephones
and all that lino that covered our homes.
Lino.
Linoleum, Otis. Cacaldi.
Cacaldi. I know what linoleum is. I just wonder what part of Tennessee you're actually from.
Guilford.
Nowadays we're viewed like the Hatfields and McCoys. Here's to the rednecks and good old boys who drink that Jack Daniels and raise their glasses high, then go home and punch their wives in the eye. Surely it must make a Scotsman feel proud to see his anti-culture dumbed right down. Nowadays Argyle's a sock and Paisley's a tie. Not that place in Glasgow where you'll probably die. Give me back my whiskey. Give me back my whiskey. Give me back my whiskey. It was mine before you raped it. It was mine before you could take it, bake it, make it into something that you drink with Coca-Cola so you don't have to taste it. Give me back my whiskey. Give me back my whiskey. Give me back my whiskey. Give me back my whiskey.
Ladies and gentlemen, one more hand for Mr. Myron T. Button on the guitar.
Give me back my whiskey.
Mr. Lonesome Dave Lindsay on the banjo. Horse First on the bass. Mark Hewitt on the drum. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. You've been fantastic. We'll see you again.